Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. Bob Knight, Senior Fellow with DAND, and here's your host, D.W. Jackson.
Thank you so much, Bob. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Look, we do this because you all are willing to take your valuable time to join with us, and so we always try to bring you guests that we believe are going to be informative and inspiring and are going to help you to do what you're doing. So, of course, our guest today, he's not with us yet, but this is always a little bit of an iffy thing when we're using people from Congress. So Senator Ted Cruz will be with us momentarily, we expect. But let's, again, pray to get started, and by the time we finish prayer, he should be on. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have in this country to express ourselves. There are forces at work that want to circumscribe our First Amendment liberties, but we are committed to the notion that our right to freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly are not the beneficent grant of the government, but that they are the gifts of Almighty God. We thank you for them, and Lord, we are prepared to defend them and to preserve them. So help us to do that. Help every leader on this call to do that. And Lord God, help us to beat back the forces of darkness that would, A, use the idea of First Amendment liberty to censor us and to amplify their own evil values and wickedness, just as this Satan club that's trying to establish itself in a primary school in the city of Chesapeake, where my church is, and they think that somehow this is a great thing to be able to teach young kids about Satan. And so, Lord God, yet if we wanted to go in and talk about Jesus, it would be a constitutional crisis, and it would require the presidential permission to do it. So Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to be a nation that is rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values, and that will preserve that we are rooted and grounded in the Constitution, which limits the power of government, so that we continue to maintain our liberty by limiting government's ability to encroach upon that liberty, and that, Lord, we remain a nation whose God is the Lord, because you said therein lies the blessing. We said it in our Pledge of Allegiance. We say it in our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Blessed Senator Ted Cruz will be joining us here momentarily, Lord, and continue to use him as a voice for American liberty, as a voice for those values that made us the greatest nation on earth. And we thank you and we praise you for him and for all of these leaders who are standing in the gap, building up a wall. Lord, may they continue to do so until we see this nation completely changed and we cast all of this Marxism and socialism and atheism and secularism on the dung heap of human history, never to rise and trouble our nation again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
The senator is on.
All right. Well, Senator Ted Cruz, it is so good to have you. We are honored as always. Thank you for joining us. And without any further ado, folks, Senator Ted Cruz.
EW, my friend, thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your friendship. And let me just say thank you to everyone on this call for standing up and speaking out and being a voice for truth. We find ourselves at a remarkable time in our nation's history. What is happening in Washington? Washington continues to get more and more radical, and we are seeing an assault on our values. We're seeing an assault on the Constitution. We're seeing an assault on who we are as a nation. And I think it is incumbent on every one of us who supports common sense, every one of us who believes in free enterprise, believes in free speech, believes in religious liberty, to stand up and speak out and to help spark an awakening. I mean, the very name of this gathering is what this country desperately needs, which is to open our eyes and to change the path we're on. We just had an election last month, an election that frankly was deeply frustrating. Given the dynamics of what's happening, this election should have been a massive victory. It should have been a massive victory for Republicans. We should have a large majority in the House. We should have a significant majority in the Senate. Instead, we barely have a majority in the House. It is tiny and is going to be excruciatingly small for the next 2 years. And tragically, we continue to have a Democrat majority in the Senate. That is incredibly frustrating. I think there are a lot of reasons behind it, but one of the biggest reasons, I believe, if you look at what happened on Election Day, the hard left showed up. They showed up in big, big numbers, and too many common sense conservatives stayed home. Too many of our people did not show up and vote. Too many believers did not show up and vote. And when you step aside and leave elections, leave governing our country to those who hate our values, we shouldn't be surprised when the country goes in that direction. Where we are now, we're in the middle of a lame duck session of Congress. This lame duck, I think, is very damaging, very dangerous, what can happen right now. We're going to go into next year with at least a Republican majority in the House, and that is something that is significant. I hope and believe we'll have real and meaningful oversight from the House of Representatives and that they can tee up meaningful, positive, pro-growth, pro-jobs legislation to put the Democrats on defense and force them to fight. I will tell you right now during the lame duck, I am very concerned that Republican leadership in the Senate is eager to hand the Democrats victory after victory after victory. As you know, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a leadership battle in the U.S. Senate. It's the first time in 16 years that Mitch McConnell has been challenged, that there's been a leadership battle in the Senate. I'm the one that made the motion to delay our leadership elections until after the Georgia runoff and to do it so that we could have a real debate about what direction Republicans in the Senate will go, and in particular, is there anything on which we're willing to fight? Far too often, I think Republican leadership lies down and rolls over and gives in to the Democrats and helps Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi pass their agenda. Tragically, we just saw in the last couple of weeks that exactly happened with the Democrats passing their deceptively named Respect for Marriage Act, an act codifying and embracing gay marriage. But even more dangerous than that, a bill that I believe will open the door for the Biden IRS to target people of faith, to go after churches, to go after charities, to go after universities, and to go after K-12 schools that believe in the biblical definition of marriage, that don't embrace same-sex marriage. And all of the Democrats stood together on weaponizing the IRS and targeting people of faith, and maddeningly, 12 Republicans stood with them and enabled them to do that. I think that was a very discouraging way to begin the lame duck session. We're right now in the middle of two other big battles. One concerns the National Defense Authorization Act, and I and other conservatives have tried to draw a line in the sand to say we should block this bill unless we end the Biden COVID vaccine mandate in the military. Joe Biden and the Democrats have used the COVID vaccine to fire thousands upon thousands of soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines, to ignore their religious liberty exemptions, to fire them. I believe they're using this as a tool to purge the military of conservatives, to purge the military of servicemen and women who don't agree with their radical and woke agenda. And it is not clear right now whether 41 Republicans will stand together and say, we are going to stand and fight for our fighting men and women. I hope and pray that we do, but it's not clear right now. And I'll mention one other battle that will play out in the next 2 weeks, which is Senate Republican leadership wants to pass the Pelosi-Schumer spending bill for next year. They want to pass it in this lame duck session right before Christmas and fund the entire federal government all the way through the next fiscal year, all the way through September 30th. If they do that, they will adopt every spending priority of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and they will prevent the new Republican House from doing anything, because the only levers that the new Republican House has is spending or the debt ceiling. And what Republican leadership in the Senate is trying to do right now is give the Democrats both of those levers so that the new Republican majority in the House cannot succeed. I think it is asinine. I think it makes no sense. But it is a battle that we are engaged in right now in the Senate, and fundamentally, this is a question of will Republicans stand for anything, or will too many Senate Republicans sit by while the Democrats try to fundamentally undermine the precepts and principles that built this country. With that, let's open it up to questions.
All right. Thank you so much, Ted. Let me ask the first question. Folks, press star 6 to get in queue. And I don't in any way mean to put you on the spot, but I'm sure you get this question all the time. Do you have any thoughts at all about running for president of the United States?
Well, EW, I appreciate that question very much. Do I have thoughts about it? Of course. I ran last time. We came incredibly close. We almost won last time. I'll tell you this. It's the most fun I've ever had in my life. I loved every second of every minute of every day. It was incredible. We had 326,000 volunteers nationwide who were knocking on doors, who were making phone calls, who were engaged. We raised $92 million, which is the most money any Republican has ever raised in the history of presidential primaries. That came from 1.6 million contributions. So I was incredibly encouraged. What I can tell you right now, EW, is that it's very early in the process, and we'll see what plays out. Donald Trump has already announced. Others may announce. Right now, I am running for re-election to the United States Senate. I'm on the ballot in 24, and we know that the Democrats are going to spend over $100 million trying to defeat me, trying to go after me. There is no member of the U.S. Senate that the radical left wants to defeat more than me. And so we are running a re-election campaign to defeat their assault, and we will see how things progress in the months coming forward. But I can promise you this, EW, I am committed to fighting with every strength in my body to pull the country back from the edge of this cliff. It is the threats facing our nation are unlike anything I've ever seen in my lifetime, and as long as I have breath in my body, I'm going to lead the fight to save this country.
Amen. Let's take the first question.
Hello, Senator. This is Claire Lopez in Northern Virginia here. And thank you so much for your leadership in the Senate. Wanted to ask you if you think there's any chance that the House or the Senate would pass a resolution, a statement in support of the people of China, the people of Iran, fighting desperately for their liberty. And if I can slip in a twofer real quick, is there anything the House can do by itself without the Senate to secure, to close our southern border? Thank you.
Well, Claire, thank you for that question and two very good questions. Number one, in terms of the people of Iran and the people of China, we are right now seeing potentially historic protests as in both nations, the citizens are taking to the street at great personal peril, at great risk. You know, here in America, when you protest, you're generally not risking your life. You're generally not risking imprisonment and torture. And yet in China and Iran, they are very much risking that, and you're seeing the tyrannical regimes in both nations rounding up the protesters and locking them up. And I think it is incumbent on leaders in the United States and across the world to speak out in support of the people who are demonstrating great courage. I will say it has been sad, it has been disgraceful that Joe Biden and the Democrats are unwilling to do so, that this White House is so mealy-mouthed, they're so afraid of the tyrants and enemies of America that they won't speak out against them. Claire, as you know, I do a podcast every week. I do it three times a week. It's called Verdict with Ted Cruz. We've had multiple podcasts that are focused on the protest and highlighting the people that are courageously standing up to do the right thing. And I got to tell you, it's amazing. The podcast Verdict with Ted Cruz, we get more listeners than CNN. It became the number one ranked podcast in the world, and it's something that people can download and subscribe for free, but we do that to get around the corrupt corporate media and to go directly to the American people. In terms of Congress, I certainly am speaking out. There are other Republicans speaking out. Right now, the Democrats in the Senate are afraid to stand up to Iran, and they're afraid to stand up to China. In the House, could the House pass a resolution standing with the people in both countries? Yes, and I think there's a realistic prospect the House will do that next year when we have a Republican majority, but it will take a Republican majority before that begins to happen. On your second question about securing the border, will a Republican House be able to entirely achieve that objective? No. And the reason it won't is that under our Constitution, the responsibility for executing the laws falls with the executive branch, falls with the president and the executive branch. And the fundamental problem we have is that Joe Biden and the Democrats refuse to enforce our immigration laws. They're practicing catch and release. When people are apprehended crossing the border illegally, they turn around and let them go. And that has caused the worst illegal immigration in our nation's history. It's caused over 5 million people to cross illegally under Joe Biden. And Joe Biden and the Democrats, they do not care. They do not give a flip. Now, what can the House do? I think one of the very first agenda items for a Republican House should be impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And the reason to impeach him is to lay out the facts in the House and then have a trial in the Senate of the absolute abdication of responsibility and the complicity in a humanitarian and national security disaster that is unfolding at our southern border. And I hope that's one of the very first steps. And I think we also ought to use the levers we have, particularly on government funding, to say that we will not fund the 87,000 new IRS agents that the Democrats are trying to hire to harass and target and harangue American citizens and their political enemies, and instead we will use those funds to secure the southern border. I think we need to use that fight, but that goes back to what I said in my opening remarks, why Mitch McConnell's efforts to pass the Pelosi-Schumer spending bill, why those efforts are so damaging, because if we give away all the spending leverage we have at the outset for most of next year, it means that a Republican majority in the House will have no leverage to force that spending on the southern border or to stop those IRS agents. And so we've got to have leaders that are willing to fight. Fundamentally, if we want to accomplish anything, we've got to be willing to fight.
All right. Thank you for that answer. Let's go to Don Woodsmall.
Always a great admirer of yours. My question is, with COVID, the Democrats blew a wide open hole in our whole voting process. There was one county in California, I can't remember which one it was, that sent out more absentee ballots than existed as voters in the whole state of California, because we know Democrats for my whole lifetime have fought cleaning up voter rolls. You can't take anybody off the voter roll. There's certain laws in certain states that mandate it. But when we have six-week early voting and when you have mail-in ballots, it's not a matter of votes anymore. It's a matter of ballots. Whoever can collect the most ballots wins. And that is fundamentally antithetical to our system. Do you see this ever being corrected?
Well, Don, thank you for that question. It's a great question. I agree with you that there is an enormous problem with election integrity in this country. There's an enormous problem with voter fraud. And I have been leading the fight against voter fraud now for two decades, fighting to stop voter fraud, fighting to pass common sense provisions like photo ID, like prohibitions on ballot harvesting. The dynamic we have right now, it varies state by state. There are states, red states, that have passed common sense election integrity laws, states like Texas, states like Georgia, states like Florida, and we've seen significant progress made in those states. The problem, however, is that today one of the two major parties, the Democrat Party, has decided voter fraud is good, that has decided voter fraud benefits Democrats politically, and so not only do they not want to oppose voter fraud, but they affirmatively embrace voter fraud. What does that mean? That means in blue states like California, blue states like Nevada, any states where Democrats are controlling the machinery, they are passing laws that affirmatively make voter fraud more likely. That is fundamentally dangerous. What is our answer? Our answer has got to be that in those states, number one, we use ballot observers, we use legal challenges to try to fight against egregious instances of voter fraud, and number two, particularly in purple states, we've got to win by a big enough margin they can't steal the election. That's not fair, it's not right, but it is the simple reality that when Democrats are controlling the state machinery, the only way to change the rules is to win elections. And so it is fundamentally a turnout battle. If you look at this last election, by and large what happened is people went home. In red states, in states like Texas and Florida and Missouri and Iowa, we saw great Republican victories. We saw significant statewide Republican victories. But sadly, in blue states and purple states, they went back to the left. And we have got to do a better job in turnout. And once we win, then I think we have a realistic prospect of passing ballot integrity legislation, but we can't do that until we win first.
All right. I see my friend Frank Gaffney's on. Let's take Frank Gaffney's question.
Thank you, Bishop. And Senator, hello, and again, thank you for your leadership. I wanted to ask you, in addition to Iran and China, the people of Brazil are also turning out in the streets for their freedom in the face of election integrity challenges of a first-class order. But I wanted to ask you a specific question about something you mentioned is upcoming in the Senate, and that is the National Defense Authorization Act. And one of the things that, as you know, is in urgent need of amending there, in addition to trying to make sure the woke agenda for the military is stripped from it, is that the Thrift Savings Plan, in which I believe you are invested, as are our men and women in uniform and civilian government employees, should not be investing in communist China. And there are now, if you would invest in the international fund of the Thrift Savings Plan, which is, of course, the federal government pension fund, 30-some companies that were introduced into the fund. It's mandatory that you invest in them. They were nominally based in Hong Kong and therefore not China at the time. They're China, as you know, today and then for that matter. Is there a chance that you or others might put forward an amendment to the NDAA, if that's possible, to preclude China from benefiting from the investment dollars of our men and women in uniform, some of which is going into companies that are building weapons, as you know, with which to kill them? Thank you, sir.
So, Frank, thank you for that question, and thank you for your longtime friendship and leadership on so many issues of national security and protecting our nation. On that particular question, look, I think you raise a very valid and important concern to avoid investing American funds, and in particular the funds of federal employees or servicemen and women or members of Congress in China. In terms of procedurally, is it possible to get an amendment on the NDAA? Where we are, it is no longer going to be possible, which is there is a deal that has been cooked up behind closed doors. As I'm sitting here today, I don't know what's going to be in the NDAA. Virtually none of the members do. This is a deal that was cooked up in a back room with Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer. And at some point today or tomorrow, they're saying they're going to tell us what's in the bill. But right now, I have no idea what's in the bill. Their intention is to ram it through with no amendments whatsoever. I and others are leading the fight to try to, at a minimum, insist on revoking the COVID vaccine mandate, and also, importantly, so I filed legislation not just to revoke the COVID vaccine mandate, but to provide a means of redress for those servicemen and women who have been terminated from the military to be able to re-enter the military if that is their desire. I believe the Biden administration and the Democrats are using this very deliberately to engage in a purge, to try to remove from the military, not just at the enlisted level, but going all the way up the officers' ranks, going at the mid-level, at the majors and lieutenant colonels and colonels, to remove anyone who is conservative and willing to stand up to the woke military agenda. By the way, they're also doing this at the Department of Justice. They're also doing this at the FBI. They're also doing this at the Border Patrol. Throughout the federal government, they're trying to remove conservatives, and the COVID vaccine mandate is a good excuse to do so. And so my hope is we'll get 41 Republicans to stand strong and hold the line. Right now, our leadership is less than eager to do so, so we'll see how that plays out. On your question about the TSP in China, I think that is an issue we can certainly focus on the next time around at the NDAA, but procedurally, there are not going to be any amendments when they bring this to the floor, and so there's not going to be an avenue to address this, depending on what's in the bill. And as I said, the crazy process we're following, I have no idea what's in the bill right now.
Folks, we've got the senator for only four more minutes. Get to your question quickly, and we'll try to get to at least a couple more. Okay, let's take the next question.
Great. Have they called?
You're on. You're on. Okay, let's go to Jody Akers.
With us today.
Hey, Jody.
Thank you for being with us today, Senator. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you now. Yes, that's fine.
Okay. So I just wondered once again, you know, if I know that the average person, including my family members, have no idea that this is all communism. They have no idea. They don't understand that there's an overall plan to take religion, to take history, and to make the LGBTQ and all the kids crazy. So why aren't we teaching communism? China is not, you know, Biden's not going against China. He was all in bed with them when he was vice president.
Okay, Jody, thank you.
Jody, thank you for that question. And EW, I'm going to apologize. This is going to have to be the last question I do because
That's
we've got
fine.
A vote on the Senate floor that I'm getting a hook for. Jody, you are exactly right. This is Marxism. This is the communist left. Engaged in a very explicit plan to take over this country, to seize and corrupt every major institution in America, and to fundamentally change this nation. Just a couple of weeks ago, I came out with a brand new book. The book is entitled Justice Corrupted, How the Left Has Weaponized Our Legal System. And in the book Justice Corrupted, I detail exactly how this is happening, how under Barack Obama and now even worse under Joe Biden, how they politicized and weaponized the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS, the CIA, all of the institutions of the federal government to target their political enemies. And one of the things I walk through in the book Justice Corrupted is the origins of this, and in particular critical race theory, where it came from. It originated at the Harvard Law School, which I'm a graduate of Harvard Law School. I was there when this was incubating, and it came from Marxism, it came from communism, and it originated at Harvard Law School. It spread to other law schools, then it spread to schools of education, then it spread to classrooms and K-12 education, then it spread to corporate America, and we're seeing the Fortune 100 being weaponized for the hard left, and it is profoundly dangerous. And we need to understand exactly what it is we're fighting. And I got to say, in the Senate, you know, it used to be there was one open and admitted socialist in the Senate. That was Bernie Sanders. He was the only senator who admitted he's a socialist. Right now, all of the Democrats are with Bernie Sanders. Bernie is the chairman of the Budget Committee and the top priority of every single Democrat in the Senate. And the top priority of Joe Biden is to pass Bernie Sanders' socialist budget. This is a radical left-wing assault on our founding values, and it is incumbent on us to speak the truth, to be happy warriors. It's the reason why I do things like write the book Justice Corrupted. It's the reason why I do the podcast, because it is all about equipping people with information, with facts, with truth, so that we can in turn share to others. Because look, the name of this gathering, Awakening, we need to wake up the church. We need to wake up America to pull this country back. And I believe we're going to do it. But we've got to have the urgency to understand on the left, this is life and death to them. This is everything they care about, destroying the institutions of America. And for those of us who believe in our nation, we need to have the same passion and vigor for defending America that they have for destroying our nation.
Senator Cruz, I couldn't preach a better sermon myself. Thank you very much, my friend. God
Praise
bless
God.
You. We're praying for you.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Senator Ted Cruz. I'm hearing music. I'm hearing music. I'm hearing music. Okay. All right. Thank you. Look, folks, just before we go, just want to let you know, if you're on the call and you're from Georgia, we're praying for Georgia right now because Herschel Walker must win this election. He must. Now, if he doesn't, God forbid he doesn't, but if he doesn't, we fight on. And that's the thing I want to make clear to everybody. We can't allow the outcome of an election or any seeming setback to stop us from standing up. We just can't. Our attitude can't be, well, if we don't win this, I'm done. It's got to be, well, if we don't win this, I'm in it for the next battle and the next battle and the next battle and the next battle, because we don't quit until we win. We don't quit until we win. And then once we won, we maintain what we won. We're going to win. I'm confident of that. We're going to win. The process of victory is not necessarily one straight, unbroken trajectory. It has zigs and zags. It has ups and downs. It has sometimes dramatic moves forward and then sometimes seemingly dramatic moves backward. But we have to keep pressing ahead because we've got to do so in the sure knowledge that we win. Of course, I believe that we win because I really do believe, Ted Cruz mentioned it, those of us who love this country, those of us who honor our institutions, our Constitution, what this country represents in terms of personal, individual liberty, we know that this country is the gift from God. It is a gift from God. And it has blessed all of us. And we've got to be prepared to stand up for it, and because the God who gave it to us is not going to have it wrenched from our hands as long as we will not abdicate our responsibility to stand up for it. And, you know, we ought to be reminded from time to time that the Revolutionary War that gave us our independence and liberty did not happen overnight. I mean, it took 6 long years on the battlefield and then another 2 years of negotiations to finally bring it to a complete halt. And then the War of 1812, when Britain thought they'd get another bite at the apple and finally subjugate us again. So it's never a straight, unbroken trajectory. You've got to expect ups and downs. But we've got to be so determined, so convicted, so absolutely willing to sacrifice whatever it takes, that no mere setback is ever going to cause us to lose our enthusiasm or lose our commitment. And I've said this in speeches around the country, and I trust every true American, every true patriot shares it with me. If I have to be the last person on earth standing up for that flag, standing up for our Constitution, standing up for the Judeo-Christian principles and values that are the foundation of our nation, I will do it until I breathe my dying breath. But I'll never give up. I'll never give in. I'll never back down. I'll never stop. And that's got to be the attitude of us all. And my wife and I just had our first grandchild 8 months ago. And this has made this more real than it was before. And I've been a warrior for this nation for, I guess, 40 years. But it's more real now because I realize that my own flesh and blood is going to have to live in the country I leave her. And if I have other grandchildren, they'll have to live in the country I leave them. And what kind of country is that going to be? Is it going to be a nation in which they're told that being a Bible-believing Christian makes you, by definition, a persona non grata, makes you a second-class citizen, that you're not eligible to work in the corporate world, that your business will come under attack unless you embrace all of the postmodern values of Marxism and socialism and secularism and atheism and the whole LPGTXYZ movement, which I call the SPCG movement, sexual perversion child grooming movement, because that's really what it is at this point. It's the sexual perversion child grooming movement. But if you're going to live in a country in which being a Christian, being a patriot makes you racist, being a patriot makes you a hater, a xenophobe, we can't leave a country like that to our posterity. And we're not going to. And so I would just encourage you all to stay in the fight. Look, we're coming to the end of 2022, and it didn't end the way I expected it to, with a resounding victory for our side in the election. We have a victory. I mean, we took back the House, and that's a good thing. I was hoping we would take back the Senate. That obviously didn't happen. We got one more shot, one more bite at the apple. I trust the people of Georgia won't disappoint us, that they'll turn out, the conservatives won't disappoint us and turn out in droves to make sure that Herschel Walker goes to the U.S. Senate. But again, regardless of the outcomes in any particular situation, we have got to be rock solid in our determination that we're never, ever going to quit and that we are definitely going to win. And I'd add this one thing. I said that I believe this nation is a gift from God. I also believe that we are going to have an awakening in America. I really do. I believe that there's going to be a significant turnaround in attitudes that is going to be divine. Because as Ted Cruz laid it out, and we all know it, every institution in our culture, it seems, has been corrupted. Every institution. Now, they're going after the family now through this early childhood sexual stuff, but they're going after the military, which is one of the bastions of traditional values and a meritocracy. They've already captured most of the universities and colleges, the entertainment culture, the journalism profession, you name it. The corporate world. I mean, we've got BlackRock and ESG. We've got all these corporations that instead of pursuing the profit motive that they're supposed to have as a fiduciary for their stockholders, they're busy pursuing all these leftist social ideas. I mean, they've co-opted. It's metastasized. They've co-opted and corrupted everything. But it's not too late. It is not too late. God is still on the throne, and I believe that the God who gave us America, if we will not surrender, if we will continue to stand, is going to give us back America, give us back a nation that is rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values, godly wisdom, good old common sense, my goodness, not this divided, tribalist, racial nonsense they've tried to foist on us. I was at Harvard Law School. I graduated from Harvard Law School as well, and Derrick Bell was teaching there while I was there. Of course, he left and then came back, and he's one of the people who mentored Barack Obama. He's considered the godfather of critical race theory. It was a lie then. It's a lie now. It grew out of critical legal studies, which was that's a Marxist view of our legal system, which was a lie then. It's a lie now. And I just believe the truth is going to emerge victorious. Jesus put it this way, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And so to the extent that we remain committed to truth, it cannot be defeated, and America cannot be destroyed, not if we're willing to stand. So, look, I want to thank you all for your participation. We've got a couple more of these calls this year, and then we'll start fresh next year. But I want to thank all of you for your participation and your support and your prayers and your contributions as well. And we've got a whole lot more to do. We haven't even begun to fight. I am looking for more resources to do more, because we're in this thing for the long haul. So I trust all of you are too. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you again for your prayers, your support, your participation, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody, too. We'll talk again before then, but we're coming into the Christmas season. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you. Let me mention one other announcement that you may not be aware of. I changed the name of my podcast, which comes on at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, to E.W. Jackson for America. E.W. Jackson for America. You can check it out on our Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, or you can go to ewjacksonforamerica.com because we live stream it to the website as well and to every other website I'm affiliated with. But I changed it because I wanted to take a stand. I wanted my podcast to be more about taking a stand for our country and for its future. And so we changed the name to E.W. Jackson for America as a site to represent patriots and citizens who are committed to securing the future of our great country. And we're going to continue to do that, folks, no matter what. So God bless each and every one of you. I encourage you, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.